This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Frank Benali.
This is Klaus Lundekvam.
I'm Matt Letitia.
Dean Hammond here.
And you're listening to In That Number.
Thanks for checking out In That Number with me, Kevin, the Moscow Mush Milverton. Find me on Twitter, at Moscow Mush.
And me, Ray Hunt. You can find me on at RayHunt84.
Follow the show on at Number Podcast on Twitter.
And on Facebook, Instagram and Telegram on In That Number Podcast.
Email us with your thoughts and feelings on inthatnumberpodcast@gmail.com.
And if you like what you hear, consider showing your support by visiting buymeacoffee.com/inthatnumber.
Let's march on in.
Welcome back to another episode of In That Number, part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This is episode 231. A very happy Mother's Day to all the amazing mothers across the land. We have a little bit of a shorter episode than originally planned. No Preston game to report because of the fire in St Mary's on Wednesday, but we do have the Sunderland game to go back over from Saturday afternoon. No Tim, just me and the Moscow Mush with nothing to preview, but we do have that humdinger of a match against Sunderland. Another four goals scored in back-to-back weeks, another Adam Armstrong goal, and another brace from Joe Rothwell. Kevin, another win to celebrate as well. How are you on this fine week?
Yeah, absolutely buzzing. I'm burning to get into this podcast. See how many fire gags we can get into this episode.
Maybe we should. We should have done with that intro, shouldn't we?
Yeah, that was good at halftime, wasn't it?
Yeah, and apparently they did relight my fire at the start of the game as well, if I take that. But
How far could they go? Fire starter?
Yeah, great balls of fire. That's quite a few, but yeah. Sunderland, Kev, it's never dull, is it? That's one thing you can say about us. The whole season has been packed with drama, really, hasn't it? And they've been putting us through it. We were in complete control yesterday, and we allowed them back in, and then we turned it on again. And I don't know, I'd rather have won 2-0 than the 4-2, but I don't know about you.
I like a bit of excitement. That roller coaster of a ride,
yeah,
get the equaliser. Maybe not every week. I mean, it's not every week, is it?
Well, look at the Birmingham game last. It's like, it just seems like this is the norm now.
Bit of variety.
Yeah. I just want it a little bit more uncomplicated and a nice... What's wrong with a nice 2-0 win? You score two goals early, you shut up shop and you play proper football. That's the way to do it. No goals conceded.
Yeah, I mean, that would have been nice, but you know, 4-2 sort of also nice.
Anyway, if you'd like to show your support for the show, you can do so by buying us a coffee, a pint, whatever. Visit buymeacoffee.com/inthatnumber. And again, thank you to everyone who has supported us. And Discord, if you would like to join our free Discord, You can get involved with everything that we do in there. The burning questions, I did it again, every week, and, you know, put your predictions in there and stuff. But, yeah, just get in touch through our various means of communication, and we'll get you in. Kevin, ITN News?
Yes, sir. This is ITN In That Number News.
Only one place to start, Kevin. That's Wednesday's fire. Fire that caused havoc in the city, not to mention our schedule. Terrible scenes, really. It was black smoke engulfed our fair city. I could see it from my back garden as well, and it could be seen from Winchester, apparently. There was talk
in the Isle of Wight, apparently.
The Isle of Wight as well, yeah. There was talk of, obviously, the Preston game was postponed on Wednesday night, and there was talk of postponing the Sunderland fixture because there was reported smoke damage to the pitch and to the seats. The ticket office and the store were closed on Thursday, but thankfully everything on for Saturday, except for the fan zone, Kevin.
Yeah, which was right next to it. Like, I'm surprised that, I mean, I don't know, I thought I saw that they'd taken the bugs away.
They
backed like right onto it, didn't they?
That's right, yeah. But yeah, first it's shocking, wasn't it? It's not the sort of thing you see very often. But yeah, fantastic job that the emergency services did tackling it. I don't quite know how long they've been tackling it for, but even on Saturday they still had the hoses out and, you know, watering it down.
Yeah, still pumping water in there.
Yeah, but they've done incredible job. But what does this mean to our schedule then? Because you can see it from different points of view. You've got games in hand, but it's going to be a very, very busy April. But on the plus side of it, you know, we've had a quiet March and a chance for those important injured players to recover. So obviously no Kyle Walker Peters for the Sunderland game, but he should be back for Middlesbrough. Ryan Fraser could also return for that game. So, yeah, if you look at it on the plus side, we're going to have a very, very quiet March.
Yeah, I mean, this is pretty much it, isn't it? We've got one match at the end of the month, and that's it.
Nice chance to recover. But then, you know, that Leicester fixture has now been penned in for Tuesday, the 23rd of April.
It's St George's Day, isn't it?
Yeah, there's still no date for the Preston game. We've only four midweek slots available between now and the end of the season. And we do have to face, with this Leicester one now, we have to play 10 games in, well, everything, you know, 10 games in 36 days is what it means now. So it's going to be brutal. Away to Cardiff on the 20th of April, then away to Leicester 3 days later, and then at home to Stoke on the 27th. That's three games in 7 days. So this is the downside, isn't it? You know, the Preston game will have to be midweek somewhere. But do you think ultimately this is going to affect our chances and we've got like a massive disadvantage now?
Don't know. There's advantages and disadvantages, aren't there?
There are, but there's more disadvantages, I think. The only advantage is that the players get a chance to recover, and we've had a quiet March, but April, it's just brutal for them. You need a big squad. You can't have any injuries.
Yeah, we do have a big squad, but yeah, I mean, a lot of our players are out on loan, but we still got sort of a big squad. Should be able to do them. The Leicester game nestled between two fairly weak teams in Stoke and Cardiff, so, you know, it's not as if we're playing Leicester and Leeds in the same week, which was potentially something that could have happened. So we've got a nice week break before that humdinger of a clash at Elland Road right at the end of the season. I'm more concerned about when we get straight back, because it's ridiculous. We've got Middlesbrough on the Friday at home, and on the Monday we've got a trip to Portman Road.
Yep, and then on the Saturday we're at Stoke, aren't we? Blackburn. Sorry.
Blackburn, yeah. Yeah, I mean, that gives us 5 days between Ipswich and Blackburn, which is fine. But, yeah, playing those two games so close together, that is kind of ridiculous. I don't know what people talk about three-game weeks. That's bollocks, isn't it? We never play three games during a week. It's over like an 8 or 9 day period. But, yeah, it's going to be intense. But, hey, we've been through that. February was quite intense, wasn't it?
It certainly was, yeah. And even December, the festive picture, fixture list as well. I suppose, though, Kev, like, everyone's playing on the Friday. The whole championship is playing on Friday. So they've got to do this as well. It's not just because we've had games postponed. And then a lot of them play Monday also. So everyone's going to be in the same boat.
And I think there's not many slots for that Preston game. Yeah, could that potentially be played right at the end of the season as well?
Yeah, it probably could be, couldn't it? Going, you know, go at home to Preston and then Leeds in the same week. It probably could be.
Mm.
Ideally, I don't know. Would you like that? Would you like it? Or no, because we'd really want to focus on Leeds, wouldn't we? Just that whole week to focus on that game, which could be potentially, it could be massive.
Yeah, it's not ideal, is it?
No, I think on the whole, this fire has caused havoc to the schedule. I think it's making it a disadvantage overall, slightly. But as I say, this week we've had a chance to recover and get those important players back, because there's not many important players like Kai Walker-Peters. He is the key one in the back line, isn't he? Ever present, always there, probably the best defender we've got, one of the best players we've got pound for pound. And, you know, you lose a player like that, we have to keep playing Taylor Harvard-Bellis out of position, which we'll get to in a bit. But yeah, it's... I think it's a disadvantage, if you ask me personally. Yeah, like you weigh up everything.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be good not playing square pegs in round holes when he does come back, which I think is going to be quite soon.
Yeah, definitely. It doesn't need to now, but hey. Again, we'll talk about that in a bit. Do you have any more news that you want to discuss, Kevin, apart from this fire?
It's a couple of things in this week. Well, yeah, I mean, on the fire, the Preston fans that came all the way down only to be disappointed with the fixture postponement. Some of them were welcomed at AFC Twatton. Did you see this?
Yeah, free of charge as well. Good on them.
Yes, they enjoyed a bit of non-league football at the Snow Stadium. That's a nice touch.
That was brilliant. Yeah,
A few little bits of news come in during the week. The accounts are in for...
Oh, yes.
The last financial year.
To be honest, I didn't wish to discuss this, because it doesn't make for pleasant reading, does it, really?
I mean, I don't know what we expected. Yeah, £87 million pre-tax loss, which is, I think that's well within the financial fair play regulations, fit and sustainability. Mm-hmm. For this season, I mean, we made a fire sale of our best players to bring in money, so I think we should be all right.
Are you using a pun then, or was that unintended?
Which one? Ah, fire sale. Yes, that was definitely intended.
Good.
I'm losing track of that. I need to keep that on my mind at all times. But yeah, one interesting thing to come out of that is that the turnover of three managers in the season cost us £14.6 million.
That will be Sport Republic for you. That's what they've done for us.
Yeah, they do have a lot to answer for. I don't get a big boner over the Sport Republic takeover like some people do. I'm actually quite angry with them over the way that, in general, the transfers have been handled. Okay, yeah, you pick up a gem like Romeo Lavia, but just dead weight like Paulo Nwachu. That's said about him, the better, to be honest. But there you go. Yeah. Kai Walker-Peters' injury. He was back in training on Tuesday, and we were expecting him to feature again on Sunday yesterday. But in the end, he didn't.
Well, he said in his presser that he wasn't going to be ready in time. He said there was no need to rush him. I wasn't really expecting it.
Maybe the postponement of that Preston fixture just kind of turned his hand. He says, well, you know, if he's going to miss one match, then it might as well be that Sunderland one and give him a few extra weeks of recovery. Yeah.
That's a good point, yeah.
That kind of makes sense. And we're expecting Fraser back after the international break, so maybe we'll see him against Middlesbrough.
I think Fraser may be on the bench and Kai Walker-Peters to start against Barra.
Yeah, that would be good. That would be good. I mean, we've got enough options.
At the moment, unless we have any more injuries.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, please don't. yeah, I mean, I don't know. Yeah, who could it be? Stu on international duty, maybe. Yeah, we talked about Leicester and that crunch clash being rescheduled. Have you heard that they might be in breach of profit and sustainability rules?
I did hear this. Yeah, I didn't read too much into it. I never really do until it's confirmed, and then I can read up more on it. But yeah, no, I didn't pay too much attention to it, if I'm being honest.
I mean, from what I gather, it's not going to affect them this season, but they might like Everton or whatever, and Forest be docked points next season.
Oh, that's not going to help us, is it?
It might do if we both go up and we're both at the bottom of the table. Well, I mean, you know, in any normal season, we'd be top of the league, wouldn't we? It's just,
crazy, isn't it?
Leicester and Ipswich have had a really crazily good season. Ipswich, when the wheels seem to have fallen off, managed to find them and stick them back on again, and they're still moving. Leeds have really picked up, and I think they're the ones to beat at the moment, aren't they?
I think they are. They're the only ones that aren't losing right now, or not, you know, picking up, consistently picking up 3 points every week. Yeah,
and Daniel Farker keeping Russell Martin out of contention for manager of the month or the season.
Oh, both, yeah. He won it again.
Yeah. Speaking of monthly nominations, Rothwell's volley against Huddersfield is up for Championship Goal of the Month. So you can go on the EFL website and vote for that until tomorrow.
Yeah. Oh, so when the show comes out, he'd already have lost. No. That's got to be a winner, isn't it? That's got to be a winner. He's got to get Goal of the Month there. As I say, that's goal of the season contention, that is. That was something.
That's very good, yeah.
One thing really to mention, Carlos Alcaraz, bad news for him. He's picked up a hammy injury in training with Juventus, could be out for about a month or so, which of course is very bad timing right on top of this international break.
Really bad timing, because he just before that made his first start, didn't he, for Juve, and scored an assist on his debut, if you can call it that.
Yeah.
So he was really getting into the team at that point and had to pick up an injury. Yeah, it's a bit of a bummer, isn't it?
It is, yeah, but I'm sure he'll get many more chances. He's still very young. He won't get the chances at Saints, of course. Okay, so yeah, we'll move on to the under-21s then. They played on Monday, the 4th of March, against West Brom away, and we drew 1-1. Zach Orr with the goal, with the equaliser. And then we played Stoke on Friday, the 8th of March, at Staplewood, and we won 5-1. Brilliant, brilliant win. We had goals from Tyler Dibling, Luke Pearce, Sonny Davis, Nico Lawrence and Sam Amo Amayar. Moves up to 17th in the table. And next up, we play Crystal Palace at Staplewood on Friday, the 15th of March. And the women, they played last week, of course, that crunch game at the top of the table against Sunderland away. 1-0 loss. They're still third. They're 11 on points with Palace. And they're 4 points off of top spot, still held by Sunderland, of course. But that's not going to do them any favours, losing to Sunderland. Next up, they play Reading at home on Sunday, the 17th of March, and that's 2 o'clock kickoff. And the under-18s, they played Saturday the 9th, a 2-2 draw at Spurs. Goals from Josh Pitts and Harrison Miles. Next up, they play Leicester at home on Saturday the 16th, and that's at Staplewood. Shall we go on to Sunderland, Kevin?
Yes, we match on. We match on.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
This is Klaus Lundgren from, and you are listening to In That Number.
By the way, was that Gao or was that Nelly?
That's Gao,
yes. Sunderland then, going into this one, we had won just 3 of our last 13 games against Sunderland. Did you know that, Kevin? We drew 6 and lost 4, and though one of those was an 8-0 win.
Yeah.
At St Mary's. That was October 2014 now. That's unbelievable. Just under 10 years ago.
Me.
Yeah. One of only five matches in which Saints have scored 8+ goals across their league history. So, yeah, that was a special one. And did you know also that we have lost just one of our 11 home games played on a Saturday this season? I know you don't like those stats, but I do. Like, there is something in there, I believe. If we play on Saturday, we usually win. So we won 8 and drawn 2, winning 6 in a row before losing that 2-1 to Millwall in the most recent such game last month. But yes, on to this fixture then. We went into the fixture unchanged from that win at St Andrews. It's just more of the same, really, wasn't it? We discussed this pre-game. No Kyle Walker-Peters, so instead of putting in James Bree, Taylor Harwood-Bellis slips into right back, James Bree on the bench. Joe Rebo's still not starting. I think I said to you before the game, I don't know what he has to do to get a game. Not exactly what we wanted to see, but anyway, it's given us 6 points in the last two games, but you know, not easy, but we've done it the hard way.
And just as we're getting into this, they were playing in the Saints Foundation shirt. I didn't realise before the match. I think I'd probably be a bit more fine with it if it was Stevens right back. Although in that first half, Stevens was doing his little John Stones bit, wasn't he? Like running all over the pitch, and Harwood-Bellis was filling in his spot as centre back. So it wasn't actually clear, you know, who was in what position. But it worked out all right.
It did work out well. Like I said, we've got 6 points from this way. But just to clarify, Taylor Harwood-Bellis wasn't playing bad at all. I thought he was playing very well actually at right back. It works. It shouldn't, but it works. But I just don't understand why. I just get the impression that James Bree's got to be a little bit upset and offended, really, with the fact that he's not playing in his regular position, and he's shoehorning all these players in that don't need to be and players out of position.
It is a great tradition, isn't it? Seemingly started with Hasenhüttl of playing other players out of position rather than putting a fullback on to the expense of, I mean, who was missing out back in the day on talking like Jake Volkins, these kind of players. So.
Yeah. Don't make it easy, do we? Should have been out of sight, really, but allowed them to draw level, only to turn things around for a 4-2 win. Goals from the Armstrong, Stewart and Adam from the spot, and then a brace from Joe Rothwell. Lost to the Tigers, Kev. Lost to the Lions, but then beat the Black Cats. I thought we were having a problem with the felines, but...
Only the big ones, obviously.
Yeah, not the little piddly domesticated ones, yeah. Sorry, Sutherland. Uncomfortable for large stretches of that second half, but it was a very important win and one that keeps us, in with a chance of these auto places because, Leicester dropped points at Hull. Ipswich lost at the death to Cardiff, as we know. So a pretty good weekend in terms of results, apart from the Leeds winning on the Friday night, of course. But, I mean, not too bad.
Things perfect. Yeah. I'm still in with a shout. We could still win the league. Not out of the question.
Oh, it is. You're right.
So, games like this, I mean, you just got to take every game seriously. And, I don't know, somebody's going to slip up with the... intensity of the schedule. We just got to hope it's not us.
Yeah, exactly. I was just about to say it's going to be us, isn't it? You know it. Always there for the positive. But yeah, dominated that opening half, though, it has to be said. And it should have been up by more because we had plenty of attempts. Didn't we? A lot of weak efforts, actually, but a lot of attempts on target. And I said that at halftime that we really, really needed a third because this is Saints and they never make it easy. Even though Sunderland looked down and out. I mean, I think I said that to you, didn't I? I said they just look... Every time there was a 50-50 challenge for the ball, they went down trying to win a free kick. They just weren't interested in trying to win and fight for it. It just looked like they were beaten at 2-0. And I thought, there's no way that we can drop this now.
But they came out in the second half and really fucking went for it.
Yeah. Is that because of them or is that because of us? I mean, I'm going to discuss these substitutions with you in a minute. Got to give Sunderland a little bit of credit.
Definitely. Yeah, I think it was more on them. They just put us under a lot of pressure. They got really tight to us, man marking in our half. And for large spells of that second half, we didn't really get out of our own half. We didn't have any space to play in like we're used to. And when we try to play it out from the back, They just forced us into mistakes, and it worked. But it took the subs in order for us to remedy.
Gavin Pizzuno didn't look comfortable at all at times with the ball at his feet, and that was, you know, that's got to be down to them.
I think the fans looked even less comfortable when the ball was at Pizzuno's feet.
Yeah, you can say that again. I actually had my head in my hands on a number of occasions in that second half because I thought, oh my God, why do they still keep doing this? It's just all adds to the drama, doesn't it? But yeah, I start with the Stuart Armstrong goal. It was a mess, really, wasn't it, from a Sunderland point of view? A set piece whipped in to Bellingham, who nods it to Bednarik. Thank you very much. Patterson makes a great save. And then it comes back to Stu, who makes no mistake, for his fifth of the season. So, yeah, thank you, Job.
Yeah, I mean, all of the goals from open play were just tap-ins from a shot that was saved by their keeper.
So
we're really feeding off scraps to get these goals. But, yeah, thank you very much, Bellingham, well, for that first half contribution anyway. Great assist for Yanni B.
Yes, it was, yeah. Yeah, no, I was just talking to the bloke next to me about Joe Bellingham saying, and he just looked at me and said, he's nowhere near his brother, is he? He's never going to be on the same level as his brother. He comes up with that right foot banger to go level. And I thought, there you go. That's Adam Armstrong, the penalty, 37th minute. Let's discuss the decision, really, because Ryan Manning did brilliantly, I thought. He just tried to take it back inside and no doubt slide a little cross into a jam-packed box. Was taken out by Chris Rigg, I think it was.
Yeah.
Blatant,
yeah, absolutely
penalty.
Sides him down. Stonewall.
I suppose the only thing that I was surprised at was that he never got a booking for that, because he was judged terribly.
Yeah, I mean, the double jeopardy thing doesn't stretch to yellow cards, does it?
No, exactly. Why is that? Is that any other tackle? Any other place on the pitch, then that's a yellow card. Just
he made no attempt to play the ball whatsoever.
Yeah,
just
and
takes him completely on.
And he scores it, of course. Fourth penalty scored this season, and we've only been awarded five. Four of those at home.
And the other one was Alcaraz's Panenka.
Oh yes. Do you know what? I was trying to think of the one that we missed. How could I not? How could I forget that one? But yeah, you're right. Yeah. But yeah, was there any doubt that the Geordie would pick it up right in front of the Sunderland fans?
I thought he was going to make more of it, you know, sort of cupping his ears.
Saints 2, Sunderland 0, and it was like Geordie 1, Mackham's 0. But yeah, he hit it hard, but he slipped as he did it. And I thought the Selly was great. And I thought, you know, the finger to the ear. I don't think they liked it, but yeah, you could tell it was. I think when he had that chance early in the first half, when his eyes lit up and he just blazed it over the top of the bar, I think he wanted to do it that way, but he'll take one from the spot, no doubt. That's his 18th for the season, and the last time someone scored 18 for us, do you know who it was?
Was it Danny Ings?
It was Danny Ings, yeah, back in 2019-20. And that year he went on to get 25 in all competitions. But before that, it was Sir Ricky back in 2012-2013 when he got 31. But yeah, so he's going to have to go some to level Danny Ings's total.
With 10 games
left to go. Yeah.
Danny Ings did it in the Premier League as well. I mean, I don't know who the previous player was to get 25 goals in the top flight for Southampton.
Matt Letiz, you'd have to go back to.
It's absolutely tangential to analysis of this match, but I'm actually interested in doing it.
Yeah, Letiz has done it a few times.
94-95, he got 30. Yeah,
there we go. Yeah.
And 25 the season before.
Yeah, so he was prolific in the Premier League. That's doing some.
Yeah, I don't know. I seem to remember him sort of banging the first sort of 15.
Yeah, he did that
18,
too.
Yeah, goals season. Yeah, but he's had a few absolute blinds. Yeah, 89, 90, 24 goals, all competitions.
That was pre Premier League, though, wasn't it? Still top five.
Yeah.
I see what you mean.
1991, 23 goals. And then, 93, 94, 95.
This has taken a different turn than I thought it would, but yeah, you're right.
I mean, we're harking back to a golden era of Southampton Football Club, so yeah, why not?
Absolutely. I want to talk to you about the substitutions, Kevin, because you said that, you know, the subs made the difference. I think they made the difference with a negative, firstly. Russell Martin, his substitutions this year, we praised him for it. Mm. But I don't think they were right up there for this. I mean, they changed when he made the subs first, and they weren't for the good. His in-game decisions have been great, and I can't argue with that. We've got the results. I do think it backfired here. You know, Will Smallbone comes off for Joe Aribo, Brooks comes off for Sulemana. I don't know about David Brooks, because I think he's brilliant, and every time he's on the field, I love it. I really want to see more of him, but he doesn't look happy about coming off, which means to say that it's not something that they've discussed. Oh, I'm going to take you off in such and such minutes. But it makes me think that can Brooks play a full 90 minutes? Because I don't think he's done it for us this season. I know he's had problems with his health and stuff, and I don't know if this is Russell Martin managing him a little bit more, but nobody wants to see David Brooks come off, and even if it is for someone like Sulemana, who I do really like as well. But 4 minutes after he made this substitution, Mundell's pulled one back for Sunderland, and then Bellingham levelled 9 minutes after that. That was a good goal, by the way, I just want to say. But yeah, was this a coincidence, bad timing, or, you know, just a huge mistake from Russell Martin, Kev?
I just don't think he was quite, not reading the room, but reading the pitch. They came straight out in the second half and were pressing us from kickoff, you know. Mm. And I mean, I guess he thinks that he wants to change things up. But taking off Smallbone, who I thought was absolutely brilliant.
I thought he was good as well.
Going up to that, yeah. I mean, I've been critical of him before, but again, another match he's showing his worth. And yeah, Brooks, I thought was incredible. He played that ball over the top for the first goal, being a real handful down that wing. And to take him off, kind of beggars belief. I mean, you've got to maybe think that Russell Martin thinks, well, we're 2-0 up, half an hour to go. Rest a couple of players, don't want to risk them getting injured. You've got a big fixture list coming up. But he just weakened the team at a time when they were lacking confidence. And yeah, I don't really understand that. I was very confused at Smallbone coming off.
You say weaken the team, but you bring on players like Aribo, who I think should be starting over Will Smallbone, and Sulemana, you know, match-winning players, but people that can change games.
Really?
Aribo did it against Birmingham.
Yeah, Aribo's talented, but I think, you know, Will Smallbone is like an anchor with Flynn Downs. You imagine him hooking Downs off. I mean, that'd be nonsense. Nothing against Aribo.
No, that's true, but I did see Shay Charles warming up, and I thought at the point that Sunderland scored their first goal, I thought, he's made a mistake of these substitutions here. And then before Bellingham levelled it, I thought maybe we might see Shay Charles come on and shore up that midfield a little bit, but he still didn't do that. The plus side of his management, he brings Rothwell on. Bree comes on for Stevens. I think Stuart Armstrong comes off for Rothwell, doesn't he? Which, that's fine. Stu's done his work. He had a brilliant, brilliant first half. Stevens probably shouldn't be in the team anyway. I just feel like when he makes this decision, he made this against Birmingham as well. He brought Bree on for Stevens. Something that it's kind of wasting a substitution for me, because he should have started this way. But he uses a substitution to do it anyway. But the ones that he did then after that, it won the game for us, because Rothwell made the massive impact, of course. So going to look at this from two points of view, it's like the first two that he made, I think, affected us and allowed them to get back into the game. But then he responded to the 2-2 and made the right decisions after that.
Yeah. Yeah, those substitutions, you're right. Now they have won in the game. Bree getting everyone back into position at the back line, that made us a lot more organised, and having Downs in that hole meant that Aribo and Armstrong could push a bit more forward, and Rothwell when he came on.
And taken off, Stevens obviously says no more running out from the back, please.
yeah, it is a weird one, isn't it? I don't know, have we ever been in this position before where we've had a player that we want to get on the pitch, but we don't know where to put him? But, you know, because he's Captain Jack, you know, he's supposed to be on the pitch, isn't he?
Yeah, he's just not our best right-back.
Yeah, he's not. And, don't see wrong. He's not our best right-back. He's not our best defensive midfielder. You know, he's not in our best 11.
No. But, yeah, anyway, 4 minutes after coming on, Joe Rothwell scores. With 13 minutes to play, he drills it into the bottom corner. Right place, right time. But my goodness, Kevin, he knows how to hit a ball cleanly.
Yeah, he can find the ball, which is something we couldn't say of Shay Adams yesterday at all. I mean, not that he had a bad game. He's good at holding the ball up. But there were just little chances that he missed. And that was disappointing. But like I said before, you know, we were feeding off scraps at some point, you know, hitting the keeper so many times. But it took Rothwell to send in the rebound twice for us to pull ahead in the game.
Yes, it was a lovely finish. It was a lovely, nice control. He made that look easier than it actually was. But I just love the way he strikes the ball. I mean, you need any doubt? Look at the goal of the month, the Huddersfield. Mm. Yeah, go and vote for it. And this one, it just kept controlled, stayed at a nice level. Height and just drilled into the bottom corner. But yeah, lovely. And then a couple of minutes later, gets his four for the season. Goals in bunches, isn't it? Two in that Huddersfield game and two here. All four at St Mary's and all four in that Chapel net. And all off the bench. But this one, the simplest.
And all in front of both of us as well.
Exactly, yeah. One that you could have tapped home, I'm sure, Mersh.
Again, I wouldn't have skied it.
Right place, right time, again. But just an important one because it gave us breathing room of a little over 10 minutes to play. And yet Sunderland were chasing the game at that point because they needed to, because, yeah, they were down 3-2 at that point. And this kind of space has just opened up for us, didn't it? We just capitalised with a counter.
I mean, that's what we should have been doing a lot earlier is, rather than playing out from the back's fine if you can get the full ball forward quickly, but we weren't. It was just, you know, sideways, backwards passing that we've seen not just under Ross and Martin, but, you know, under previous managers as well, that gets the crowd frustrated.
They're just known as previous managers now. You're not even going to say their names. It's just
it's like Voldemort, isn't it? You don't want to say it. You want to forget it.
You must not be names. Yeah, Nathan Jones. Oh, I just did it.
Lovely. But, you know, I mean, they were using that to their advantage, Sunderland, and putting us under pressure, forcing us into mistakes. But, you know, it just takes one quick ball forward over the top or across the floor. We know that Harwood Bellis and Downs can do it. Manning can get crosses into the box quite quickly. As soon as we started using our speed to our advantage, we capitalised from it.
We certainly did. And that was it, really, wasn't it, for the game for Sunderland. Poor Sunderland. But I want to talk about the defensive issues, the goals that we're conceding now. You've got to be concerned about the amount of goals that we're letting in at this point. I mean, are you just happy with 3 points?
I'm happy with 3 points because I think in the grand scheme of things, Sunderland scored 2 goals out of nowhere, in my opinion. 2 really wonderful strikes that I don't think our keeper or defenders were particularly at fault in the grand scheme of things.
Well, I mean, the first one took a deflection off of Stevens when he was trying to block it.
Took a little scuffed his calf slightly, didn't it? And that eluded Bazuna at his near post. So, and the space
no
that
one
he squeezed
that
it
second.
Into. Yeah, that was an absolute screamer. Wonderful, wonder shot. Yeah, just top bins, proving your neighbour at St Mary's completely wrong. I don't think we can feel hard done by for that. I think I'm just a bit more disappointed with the way that we let Sunderland get so close to us and force us into mistakes. There was a point in the first half that I I was shitting myself. It was a really hairy moment. I don't know how we didn't concede. There were multiple shots in there that all somehow got blocked or
Is this the one
saved.
That hit the post?
Yeah, that's it.
But, I mean, Kev, the goals, just, I mean, he always says about conceding rubbish goals. He hasn't said that here. They were just wonder goals, and there's not a lot you can do about goals from outside the box like that. But I think, I just said to you at the top of the show, I could do with less drama at times, and it's not doing much for our goal difference. And that's the thing that we have to look at, because it could come down to this. Who knows? And Leicester and Leeds are on 41 and 40, respectively. That's championship form in front of net and defensively. Whereas us and Ipswich are 25 and 26. We're at 25, aren't we? They're at 26. It's just coming at a bad time right now, because these defensive, I don't know, I can't really call them defensive slips yesterday. It was just, you know, bangers and deflections and stuff. But they coincided with the bumps in the road, didn't we, when we were conceding a lot of goals. I mean, we went 16 games in a row without conceding two in a single game. And then we conceded three to Bristol City. We conceded three to Huddersfield, three against Birmingham. You can't really complain about the three to Liverpool, because, you know, that's not really the same thing. But another two here at a time when we should be putting teams to bed and in control of it, and we should be shutting up shop at that point. I think it's a huge concern right now. We are leaking too many goals.
Especially at home as well. I mean, you know, we're letting two against Sunderland, two against Millwall, two against Hull. It's becoming a bit of a problem. But, you know, hopefully we can sort that out in the international break. Flynn Downs is back. We'll have Kyle Walker-Peters and we'll play a normal back line.
Oh, that's true.
Please. And, then hopefully we shouldn't have many complaints.
Oh, yes, I like that. That's positive. But, yeah, I want to talk about Sulemana as well. I thought it was exciting yesterday. I don't know if you're going to feel the same as me, because when he came on, I mean, I lost count of how many times that he beat his right back. I don't know who it was. One-on-ones, he just looks fantastic. I mean, how are you going to deal with his ball control and his speed? He's just, and especially off the bench as well. It's just, but then there's the other side of him, his finishing. Do you know, he still hasn't scored this season, and for a player with his ability, I know he's been injured, but then you take a look at people like, I mean, with Fraser and Adozie, he's not laying down a regular start. Brooks being Brooks, but can go all over the place, really. Has Sulemana missed his chance, really, to nail down this starting left wide role?
Yes. Yeah, I think he's been frustrating. I mean, he's clearly talented. He's clearly got, bags of pace and talent. And, just run to the corner flag, you know, dance over the ball, hook it back the way we like it. And yeah, he can do that. But the problem is that nothing's really come out of it. When he's come on chasing the result and we're behind, he's given nothing. Here in this result, he comes on and we're 2-0 up, and we concede two straight away.
That's not his fault.
Yeah. I don't know. I suppose if I'm playing devil's advocate, then, you know, if you're attacking, you're not defending, are you? So, yeah, if we offered more in attack, then we wouldn't have the same problems in defence. But, he's been frustrating, in a word.
I thought he scored yesterday. I jumped out of my seat and looked like a right idiot when I realised it at the side netting. I swear I was the slowest person to that. I think I shouted as well. Just,
yeah! Oh. Yeah, Marina got out of her seat for that one as well.
Oh, good. It wasn't just me. Because nobody around me did. And so I looked around and everyone was looking at me and I thought, oh, shit. Looked like a right twat. But yeah, I don't know though, Kev, but I always feel like there's a place for Sulemana. Even if he's not scoring, he's still doing stuff to get me out of my seat like that. Literally, getting me out of my seat. Because I always feel like there's that unpredictability with him. You never know what's gonna happen. You know, he's going to get the ball and run with it, which is what we don't have enough of, I don't feel. And I just think he's a little bit of a maverick. And when he's on form, he's brilliant to watch. But I do get your meaning. Yeah, he can be frustrating as well. I just think that goal, if he can find his end product, then yeah, he's going to be an animal. I'm hoping he is anyway. But he looks really frustrated himself yesterday that he didn't finish his chances, all that chance that he had. And that's what I like as well, because he knows that he's not doing enough and he feels like he should be.
Yeah, I mean, he had a great game, didn't he, against Liverpool at the end of last season. And he was quite good against Liverpool in that first half. He even hit the woodwork, didn't he? And that was quite unfortunate. He could have had a goal there. That would have been great for him. But I just see him as a long line of exciting, pacey wingers that we seem to have signed. Africans like Gnappo and Boufal, that we know that they're talented. You know, we've seen what they do, but they just can't do it week in, week out. And whenever they do, it doesn't seem to come to anything.
I'd like to think that Silimana is a step ahead of Gnappo. You know, look at his value as well. What did Gnappo cost? What, 12 million? Silimana, 25 million. Yeah.
And Boufal was almost as much, wasn't he, then?
Boufal was living off that West Brom goal. But this is what I was worried about with Silimana at the end of last season when he did that, put in that performance against Liverpool. It's just putting himself in the window, isn't it, to go to a Premier League team that we can't give him. But now I feel like you're going to look at his stats and think, well, he's cost 25 million or whatever, and he's got no goals. He doesn't get up on the assists. I don't think I want anyone more to succeed in this team right now than I do with Silimana.
Well, I'd say for me, it's probably Mara, because we've seen that he can score goals. I just want to see him do more of it.
That's a good point. Yeah, Mara's up there for me too. But yeah, 4-2. The scoreline does flatter us, I think, a little bit, because it doesn't really tell the whole story. And yeah, fair play to Sunderland, because they looked like a beaten side at the break and they came back strong and really only conceded that fall because it felt like they could get the equaliser.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Probably they could have, but you know, I feel like if we'd have had that third before half time, then I think it would have been a different story and it would have just been damage limitation for them. But yeah, every game is crucial now, isn't it? And it's just a big sigh of relief. 3 points. And I have to admit, at 2-2, I thought we just put ourselves in the playoffs. We might as well just take the playoffs because we're not going to be able to. A point's no good. We're not going to be able to come.
I was just waiting for a third to go in at that point.
Yeah, that would have condemned
us. Crowd was.
You got any stats, Kevin?
Just the usual shite. 61% possession, 21 shots for us, 10 on target, 13 shots for them, 5 on target. If I remember correctly, it's 13 in the first half.
Is that what it was? Because we were discussing this, weren't we, saying that we had so many shots. I mean, they were right at the keeper, but...
Yeah. Oh, yeah, a lot of them were very weak and stupid. One wide, Armstrong put one over.
Brooks had a free kick straight down his throat as well, didn't he?
That's right.
Yeah, there's a lot of weak, tame shots straight at the keepers and stuff. At keepers? Just, there's only one. do you know what the XG was?
I don't know.
3.2.
Ooh, okay. Yeah, I mean, even excluding the penalty, that's still...
It's quite high.
2.3, that is high, yeah.
What about Sunderland? Have a guess.
0.8.
0.6.
0.6 even.
3.2 to 0.6, and it shouldn't have been this nervy. How on earth we only, you know, that we let them get back into it like that when you're looking at the stats, it's just, yeah, it's a weird one. Which brings me on to Russell Martin's comments, because he starts off saying, it's a weird one, because I feel we should have been out of sight at halftime. We let them have one shot inside the box, which hit the post. It's frustrating because we spoke to the players before the game that they have scored the most goals outside the box in the league. They have a lot of players who are really talented at shooting from a distance. Their second goal is a brilliant one, but their first is scrappy and not good enough from us. We pay for a lack of clinical touch and that last bit of conviction in the final third. We had so many chances, we cut through them. The subs had to come on and make the big impact. They did, and we started to look more fluid again. The third and fourth goal started with Gavin. We got our courage to play out again. Rothwell took his chances brilliantly. I'm delighted that we won the game, but I'm frustrated we conceded two goals. We came through it, and I'm proud of that. Kevin, man of the match. I'll go first if you want. I think there's a lot of players that were good, but not necessarily brilliant. I think Bednarek and Harwood Bellis did, but I think Bednarek actually got man of the match at the stadium, didn't he? But yeah, like I said, I mentioned it at the top as well. Taylor Harwood-Bellis playing out of position. He was good. He blocked two shots. He blocked a cross as well. His bravery, that seems to go unmentioned quite a bit because he'll challenge for absolutely anything and he always gets stuck in. Never backs out of a header as well. Even if it looks like a lost cause, he just flings himself at it. And I had a good view of him, obviously, from my seat in the first half. And yeah, he just seemed to be doing that a lot. I just think he's a very intelligent. Oh, yeah. I see. But I just think he's an intelligent player and he knows what he's doing. He can play anywhere and across the back, which he has done. And he had the most tackles in the game, most interceptions. Do you know what? I mean, I was going to give it to one of the Armstrongs, but I've kind of talked myself into THB, so I might have to give it to... Yeah, I'm going to give it to Taylor Harwood-Bellis, I think. Cause...
Okay. Yeah, it is. I mean, both Armstrongs did well. I'd say probably Stu more than Adam.
What, even that celebration? Come on, that's got to be worth it.
Well, for putting away a penalty. Yeah, okay. Well, you know, it's a job and he's done it.
Yeah.
I was really impressed with Bednarek first half, and I was looking at him as man of the match. But yeah, if we concede two, it's difficult to give it to a defender. They did at the stadium. There were a few jeers, but I think that's a bit unfair.
I did too. I was like, well, come on, he's played well.
I know he only plays about 25 minutes of football, 30 minutes of football, but. Rothwell's come on and won us the match, so I'm just going to have to give it to him, aren't I?
I did think about it, to be honest, but I thought, yeah, he didn't play an awful lot. He didn't have a lot
made
to do.
The difference.
It did make the difference. Well, Russell Martin made the difference. He made the decision to bring him on. But yeah, I get your point. So yeah, where does that leave us then? We're fourth still. Played 36, won 22, drawn 7, lost 7. 73 points. Have you given up on the top two, Kev? 10 games?
I haven't. I don't have any influence on it, but I haven't. I still think we're in with the shout.
Good. I mean, there's still a lot of points to play for. So.
It's a four-way title race. It's really exciting. And it's coming in the season where the Premier League is looking like it's going right to the wire with three teams not giving up.
Playing today as well, so that should be interesting. But yeah, the reality is, Kev, I mean, I said this to you at the break as well, and I don't want to say upset someone, but if we go and win all of our games now, we still might not even make it. We still will just get playoffs. And that's how difficult this league is and how it's been this season. And it's absolutely brutal.
It would be like Liverpool that season, like scoring 100 points and still winning the league.
It's mental, isn't it?
That would be brutal, wouldn't it?
I get the top four have been brilliant, haven't they? Ipswich are third. And they've lost the least. They've only lost 5 games this season. And let's not forget they were League One last year. They didn't even win League One last year. And, you know, let's just say for argument's sake that we win that Preston game. So we're all on the level playing field. We're still being fourth. We're 2 points off of Ipswich then. It's just, and then the running is starting to feel like cup finals, isn't it? Because we still have to travel to Portman Road, Ellen Road, the King Power. If we play at our best, yes, I think we can beat them. And don't forget, you're like you said, that someone's going to have to slip up. And they have to keep winning, which is becoming more and more difficult for teams like Ipswich and Leicester because they're not picking up so many points. Are they having a blip? I don't know, but it's a good time for them to be having it, I suppose. But all we can do, yeah, is just take it one game at a time, keep the pressure on them and just keep believing. And can you just imagine how great this city will feel if we go and win this league? Or even second, can you just imagine it?
Yeah, I mean, we have to, after a season like this, we have to get promoted, don't we? Anything else is going to be just a massive disappointment.
It is now, yeah, you're right. But I'll be there at that parade.
I was thinking, do any of the other teams play each other as well? I know we've got Leeds, Leicester and Ipswich to play, but what about them? Do they have to play each other?
Well, they're at Chelsea quarterfinal. They've got Bristol City, Norwich City, Birmingham City, all the cities, Millwall, Plymouth, West Brom, Saints, Preston and Blackburn. So that's their run-in.
What about Leeds and Ipswich then? I'll go Leeds. Millwall, Watford, Hull, Coventry, Sunderland, Blackburn, Middlesbrough, QPR, and then that's the last game of the season.
That looks like the easiest one by the looks of it. And then Ipswich is not difficult really either. They've got Sheffield Wednesday, Blackburn, us, Norwich, Watford, Middlesbrough, Coventry, Hull, and Huddersfield. Okay, you've got like the Coventry Hull game there and us, obviously, but to end up at home to Huddersfield, that's a dream for them, surely. And I know they lost to Cardiff, but before that, they'd won six in a row. So they're looking... They're in a good position, aren't they? Let's face it. Everyone's in good form, and that's the worry, apart from that Cardiff result. But anything can happen in this league. You never know. There's still a long way to go. We'll talk about it next time, I'm sure. No preview, as we say, because we're on our international break now. Actually, you are as well, aren't you? Because you're going back for the international break. So that brings us on to the Discord straight away. Nearly everybody going for Saints win over Sunderland. Aside from not very slim Jim, Alex Haas and Tim. And special mentions to Burke One and Colt Baker, who came close with a 3-2 Saints win. That's the closest that we got. League table remains unchanged. Super Six, then. Bear with me on this one. Round 41, Stephen Allen and Andrew Knight with 14 points. Round 42 is the biggest tie I think I've ever seen. Quite a low-scoring one, only 7 points for the winners, and they are Dan Buck, Adam Darlington, Dave Jones, Kevin Jewell, Stephen Allen, Ray Hunt, Andrew Knight, Paul Beasley, Lee Davey, Anthony Dark, and Steve Franklin, all with 7 points. And round 43 is still ongoing, and at the time of recording, Andrew Knight leads the league still with 373 points. Kevin, fantasy football and gaffer.
Yeah, fantasy Premier League. And there's a few games going on right now, aren't there? I've got 11 points. Brilliant.
You've only got 11 points?
So, yeah, a lot of my players just haven't played at all.
Games today, though, isn't there?
Podders League hasn't changed. Everyone's in the same position they were last week. So if you just listen back to last week's podcast, in the big league, I'm 74th, sliding down. Rate of knots.
I'm 93rd.
But I'm looking for T Bizzle. He's 52nd. At the top, Dan Buck is just slightly ahead of Josh Parkhouse, who's in third. Bucky's got 1,701 points to Josh Parkhouse's 1,700. Chris Bonner still the lead. He's 34 points ahead. Looking at the teams of the top lads, and they've all got 15 points, 18 points. So not a brilliant week for anybody as far as I can see. And on the Jaffa, thanks to Armstrong's penalty, I get a few points at least, 51.
I had Armstrong as well.
Is your captain?
He is, yeah.
I'm somehow still third, 100 points almost ahead of you in a fourth, but ahead of me 276 points ahead of me is Tim Brucker. He got 72 this week, and T Bizzle is top with 60.
Good score for Tim Brucker.
T Bizzle kicking some ass. I'm 142 points a couple of weeks ago. That's incredible.
Yeah,
and that's where they're coming from.
Before we go, I do have another game, Kev. If you're into it.
I'm always into it.
I like that. Good. Okay, so I will have to apologise to our Swedish listeners if we have any, because I cannot speak Swedish. Kev, I know you can speak a lot of languages, but I don't think Scandinavian is right up there in your list of well-spoken ones. Am I wrong?
I mean, a bit of Finnish, but yeah, none of Nordic languages. Yeah.
Okay. So this one is called Swedish Swear or IKEA Chair.
Ah, yes.
So I'm going to, again, if there's any Swedish people listening, I apologise. It's a very, very tough language. So I'm going to read you something. You're going to tell me if it's a swear word or you're going to tell me if it's a bit of IKEA furniture. Understand?
Mm-hmm.
I've got 10 for you. Number one, okay. Javla fitta.
I'm going to say swear.
It is a swear. It means you fucking cunt.
just ease me into it. Why not?
number two. Lixelelovas.
IKEA.
It is. It's a chair bed. It's $149 if you're interested in buying it, just because it sounds funny. Number three.
Dollars.
Yeah, this is all in American. So.
Yeah.
Number three, Cookwood.
Swear again?
It is. It means dickhead.
Ooh. You have to send me the list after this.
Okay. Number four, Rovhal.
Bit of furniture.
No, it means asshole.
Ah, okay, yeah, Rovhal, like something, yeah, asshole. Yeah, I see.
But you would have got that one. Okay. Number five, Fjeldel.
That sounds familiar. I think that's an IKEA thing.
It is. It's a loft bed frame for $379. Number six, Fitzlicker. Fitzlicker.
That really sounds like a swear.
It certainly does, but are you going for that?
Yeah.
Yes, it means pussy licker. Number seven, Bjorkudden.
Say again.
Bjorkudden.
IKEA.
It's a table, yeah. $80 table. Well done, Kevin. You're pretty good at this. Number eight, Yaslafuba.
Yaslafuba. Oh, it's sweary.
It is a swear word, yeah. It means ugly bitch. number nine, Gozamuk. Gozamuk.
Another swear?
No, it's an ergonomic pillow for $18.
I've probably got one of those, yeah.
And lastly, number 10, Slugis.
Swear?
No, it's a box. It's a $2 box. So, you started well and you kind of faded at the end, but yeah, well done.
Good games. You keep them coming. This is brilliant.
I don't know if I've got many more, but yeah. We've
got a couple of ideas.
We've got cheese or service station. We've had porn or polish. We've had Swedish swear or polish, IKEA chair. Yeah. I'll have to think of some more. But yeah, that's it for this week. As I say, we've got no games to discuss next week. But stick around because we do have some guests lined up. We're just trying to iron out a few wrinkles. Until next week, up the Saints.
Up the Saints.
Up the Saints.
Up my Southampton.
Thank you for listening to In That Number.
Sports Social Podcast Network.